When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
One of the best ways that you can cope with feelings of failure or the stresses of success is to embrace a simple fact. The world mostly doesn't care about you. When you are a young creative person, whether a musician or a writer or an artist, you work on your craft with no good sense of who your audience is. If you do a show at lunchtime and 10 people show up at the courtyard to watch you sing or dance or tell jokes, you can give yourself, that can give you a huge feeling of satisfaction. Later on, as you achieve more fame, your sense of audience shifts. You expect more people to care about what you're doing. If you put out a record and fewer people buy it than projected, if you write a book and it sells worse than you had hoped, if you tweet out something funny and it doesn't get the likes and retweets that you've grown accustomed to, you might have the tendency to panic or feel especially bad about yourself. Don't. Feel good about it. You're getting back the gift of freedom. People's silence or an audience's distance from you isn't necessarily a negative review. The world is extremely cluttered. It's filled with everything. Much of what you do creatively will not land in the middle of a receptive audience. It will just fall into the world to be ignored by most people and found by a few who react strongly to it, either positively or negatively. This may not speak to your ideas of fame or celebrity, but it does speak to your ideas of creativity. Whether you know it or not, creativity needs a certain amount of isolation to improve your ability to understand connection. Creativity needs a certain amount of indifference to improve your ability to make a difference. Creativity needs a certain amount of void so that you can be and create content. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we're live on a Sunday. Ready to do some podcasting? Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
the unofficial sport
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And then of course tomorrow, I have to get used to saying it, but tomorrow's only, we're going to Spotify exclusively.
Only on Spotify. That's where you're gonna find us.
If you want to hear us, you're gonna have to go on Spotify to hear the podcast. Get the app, it's free. Listen to it free. You can download episodes free. We hope to see you all over there.
Last call to get on the bus. This is the last station. If you don't board right now, you'll be left behind wondering why everybody left you.
Exactly. So make sure y'all do that. The excerpt that I'm reading today is from Creative Quest, of course, the book by Questlove. Great short read, great book. I can't suggest it highly enough for creatives. I think that is something that we kind of lose track of when you talk about audience and the reception of the audience, because we start building into our minds a sort of like call and response deserve type thing. And so a lot of times we end up placing things like failure, disappointment, and stress and anxiety on ourselves when we really don't have to. What, like, I guess depending on your goal or why you got into whatever art form or mm-hmm. outlet that you have, was it to be the most popular person? Was it to have the biggest audience? Was it to have the most response to the things you do? Was it to be well liked and world renowned? Was it just to get people's attention? You have to understand what are your motivations. This is one of the reasons I always say, when people, it sounds so corny, but people ask us advice for the podcast, I'm always like, you have to be having fun.
Yes.
If you're not having fun, really none of the shit matters. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest person in the world if it's a chore to do what you do. If your brain won't let you have fun and you have to keep reframing things into misery, then this isn't for you, you know. Or just understand that the misery is your fun, You know, that was the thing. It took me, because I'm not one of those people. Mm-mm. It took me a while to understand that about certain people. Yeah, I was like, oh no, the struggle and the downplaying and the pessimism, that is their fun. It's like,
yes,
people that watch TV shows and they only talk bad about them, and you're like, oh, you're gonna keep watching because you like talking bad, because mm-hmm. that is the fun for you.
Yes,
but you have to make sure on some level you understand yourself and know that if you're having fun or not. And if you're having fun, the critical reception kind of doesn't matter as much. You don't have to give it as much power. So if we do a podcast episode and I think it was fucking flawless and great and checked all the marks, and it doesn't get as many downloads as the podcast episode where I thought we were sloppy and it wasn't that good, that doesn't bother me, because I'm not attached to how many downloads as a measure of good or bad now. There was a time when I was looking at our downloads every day and the stats all the time.
See, that's something I never did,
right? But it was a thing for me to try to figure out this formula of what works and what doesn't work. Does it matter when we have a big guest and stuff? Like, there were times when we have a huge guest on the show and I would be like, okay, people are gonna, like, all kinds of people are gonna do this. This person has millions of listeners to their shows and to their products, so that should rub off onto us. But it didn't happen that way. And then there would be random times where me and Karen were just talking and being silly, and for some reason that episode would just have the most listens and whatever. Mm-hmm. There was no rhyme or reason to this. Mm-mm. But the lack of attachment to a certain result allows more freedom, so that now that I don't care, I'm happier, because I'm not looking to see, to have my, to have the numbers validate what I feel. The same thing when I tweet something out, I'm not looking for a certain amount of retweets to prove that that's a valid thought. I just said what I said. Who knows what people are going to do with it? If they decide that it's the greatest thing on the earth or the worst thing, it doesn't really affect me.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, you see this all the time in artists, particularly musical artists, because those are for a lot of people, when it comes to art, most people consume their art in musical form. People consume it all types of ways, but the most people in songs and in radio and things like that. And if you go back and you look over some of your favorite artists' lives, some of their artwork that was the most criticized and people gave like the most thumbs down or whatever was some of the artist's most freeing work. And or didn't sell as much, but that was the shit. They was like, this right here, I love doing this. Or you can tell when the artists get to the point where they don't care anymore, and they're like, oh no, I'm going to do this because this is what I'm going to do, and these are the things that make me happy. If the shit sells, it sells, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. And a lot of times when an artist gets to that point, you'll start getting the things that are abstract for the artist. You'll start getting the things outside of the normal for that artist. Because the thing is, when people make art, if people that consume all the time, they claim that they want different shit, but they actually don't. Because if the shit is new, they'll go, oh, I like this because it's quote unquote new. But then when an artist puts out the second, the third, and the fourth album, and each album sounds completely different, shout out to Outkast, every single time it's a rejection, immediate rejection of it, because it's not the same shit. Like JC said, you want my old shit, buy my old album. Like, as an artist, the artist ought to be able to grow and evolve. That, you know, they shouldn't be the same, just like you were not the same and in the same space in your life as you begin to, particularly if you listen to an artist for long periods of time, you ought to want the artist to grow and evolve and change. But you have some people, they've been rapping about the same shit for 25, 30 years. They've been putting out the same album for, you know, basically the same cut and paste album for years, which is fine. But, you know, it's that thing where a lot of times the world doesn't allow the artist to be free. And it's one of those things where when you say the world doesn't care, that is a true statement. The world does not care about the artist. They just want to consume. So the world doesn't care about the artist's mental health. The world doesn't care if the artist is free or not. The world doesn't care about any of that stuff. It's like, produce more shit and I will either rejected or accepted. So for artists to put up their best product, you know, the artist literally has got to get to the point to where they're free. Easier said than done, you know, and it varies per artist. And also when you talk about the audience responses, I've realized different cultures respond differently. For black people in general, particularly, this is more of a singing thing. We're more apt to let you know, hey, I like it. Or like if you perform something live, you're more apt to get an amen or hoopah holla. You go, girl, or you go, boy. Like you get immediate reactions from us. I've seen documentaries and things where black artists were saying, like, if they perform and they perform to a majority white audience, the white audience will like it, but the white audience will come on the backside and they'll be like, I like your work. Like it's more of a, they liked it, but they didn't get that immediate response. So sometimes you might not think the audience likes your shit when they actually like your shit, but they might not hoop and holler and just immediately let you know that that they enjoyed it. So I think a lot of times people put these marks and these platitudes on what's considered successful and what's not considered successful, and put unnecessary stress on themselves and put these numbers on themselves when a lot of times they're not warranted.
Well, also, you don't know who your audience is.
No.
Or who it will be. You may know who it is after you do your work for a while, mm-hmm. but look at artists like No Name, who, you know, in her mind thinks I'm doing this super black ass woke music, and I don't understand why these white people are the ones at my concerts. Like, why are these white people the ones buying tickets? And, you know, am I doing something wrong? Is something wrong with me? But because she set up this expectation of this woke black audience that was also into, you know, the baby and shit like that, she set herself up to feel like there was a void or failure there. The other thing is, when you talk about the audience free, allowing the artist to be free, they never will. That's the whole problem. Like, audiences, especially at this point, we're just very entitled.
Mm-hmm.
So I like what Quest is saying. You have to free yourself. You free your mind by being like, I'm not attached to the audience. I'm not attached to if 20 people show up, if 1,000 people show up, that can't determine the course of my art alone. Like, that can't be the justifiers and the goals, because at the end of the day, there's no real telling when it's 1,000 people or 20. There, like, you can't know that in the studio making the song. And when you get attached to that idea, it's going to be this many people, and you show up and it's not that many people, it's like a pain and a failure and a thing that you start to feel, but you really have no reason to feel that. Like, there was no obligation there. There was, you made a thing. How it's received is not up to you.
Agreed.
You
know? Agreed.
So you have to allow the world, you have to detach yourself from the world to have a little bit of freedom. It's why, you know, as interactive as we are with our fans, especially me, I never talk to fans about listening to the podcast. I never do. Like, if they volunteer to tell me, or they say something to us about what was said on the podcast, that's totally fine.
Yes.
But, you know, and I know some fans almost look at it like an insult when I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, appreciate you listening, or, you know, whatever. But when I just, you know, don't assume that they're always listening and hear everything we say,
because,
you know, I'll tell them something, they'll be like, you just said that on the show yesterday. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Because you might have missed a week. Something could have happened in your life.
In and out,
you may have been a
things.
Fan 2 years ago, but now you're not a fan that listens all the time, but you are a fan that likes that we exist.
Right.
You know? So it's that type of freedom you have to allow. And then it helped me, because in my mind, I don't think my mind would handle the idea of people being like, me thinking, oh, me and this person is real, they're a big fan of the show, they listen every day. And then when they don't, I'm gonna feel a way about it. You know what I mean? Like, man, I miss that this person doesn't listen anymore. Or this person used to talk to us all the time and now they don't, you know? And over the years, we've gone through that. Mm-hmm. Everything has a season. Listeners mm-hmm. come in, listeners go.
Right.
But the thing that doesn't have to change is how I mentally approach it.
Yes.
So I can't decide if Chill's gonna continue to listen and call in every week. But I can decide to not be attached to the idea of this person being obligated to contribute to the show or calling in and checking on us or anything. I can just go, you know what, it's nice when they do, and if they don't, that's fine too, because I never was expecting it. I never felt entitled to it. I never felt that they owed us any of that. And I think that is so important for the artist, whether you make music, whether you do podcasts, whether you do spoken word, stand up, that shit is so important, because I think that keeps you in a healthier place. And as he said, that void allows you to feel content, to feel, you know, okay, to feel full, and it allows you to create content.
Yeah, and also, like you say, a lot of times some artists feel an obligation to the audience, but you actually don't have an obligation. Like, it's I made a product, you consume said product, and that's literally the end. If an artist choose to interact with their fan, that's a nice thing, but they don't have to. But I think we live in an age where people go, you put out something, you have to interact with me, you have to, you have to know that I exist as a consumer, I spent X amount of dollars, so now that's the ownership shit. Now I own you, now you have to sing and dance every time I at you or repeat or reply to you. And that's not true. That's actually a false statement. And I think that for me, I never really had all these obligations. I'm like, hey, I put it out there, it is what it is. If people come, fine. If they don't, fine. Like, that's kind of how my mind has always been about it. And I would rather have, and it doesn't matter to me the size of the audience, but I'm about the vibe of the audience. Because if you have 10 people to show up to something that you do and them people fuck with you, you're gonna have a better time as an artist, and they're actually gonna have a better time as an audience, and the vibe is gonna be a true and genuine vibe, which is why you're making your art in the first place. Like that's why you make the art for your audience. When it's almost like you do something to find a tribe, your tribe finds you because the tribe was looking and they found you. So if I found something, I'm fucking with it. And so a lot of times, once you find your audience and your audience finds you, the audience can grow, because they're going to be like, hey, this is some shit that I fuck with and I think you should like it too. And and that's kind of how your audience grows. But a lot of people, they miss that because they so busy looking at how big. Mm-hmm. But it's been times where you can have big numbers and the majority of people in there might not know who the fuck you are, might be hearing you for the first time, might be like, this shit is whack, you don't know. So, you know, it's one of those things where I would rather have a smaller audience that fuck with me. That's one thing about our audience that I like. We don't have to have the biggest audience. We just have people that like, oh, I just fuck with Rod and Karen. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what the future hold. We might get to the point where there might be other people in the room that are outside our audience. I think eventually it will get there. But as of right now, we can actually say, hey, this is our product and our audience likes it.
Yeah, and at least for me, I'm able to enjoy that because I don't have expectations of right. It should be this. You know, when people talk about, we also get things where someone puts out a list. And they put out a list and it's like, here's the top black podcast, here's the top podcast, here's this. And, you know, we're not always on those lists. Most of the time we're not on those lists, period. And so, you know, people will be upset on our behalf, like, mm-hmm. why didn't they list y'all? And my thing has always been, I never expect to be listed.
No.
Now, I don't mean that to say, like, I don't think our shit is dope, but just, I don't walk around like, we're better than everybody, and everyone needs to recognize. I want the awards. I want the recognition. And I think it's just more about protecting my ego. It's just because if I was sitting around thinking I need to be on every list, then I'd be looking at every list, and then I'd be mad at what every list, and I'd be looking at other shows, and I'd feel more of a jealousy towards the shows rather than a camaraderie towards the shows. And I don't like that.
No, and my thing is, just like musical lists and all these other lists, they're subjective. Mm-hmm. And once you realize every list is subjective, it's about the time and that person and what they're pushing and what they, like, once you look at, it's a bigger picture than just a list a lot of times, you won't be as angry and you will not be as upset. And a lot of times it's better to keep your focus. The role that we have is the role for us. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that. And as long as we keep on that road, everything else is gonna fall where it may, you know. And if it's meant for us, we'll get it, and if it ain't, we won't. And I'm just that content with it. And I think once you realize that your road is your road and you can't go down anybody else's road. You can't go down anybody else's path. You can't follow anybody else's footsteps. You just can't. Because like I said, and that's when you allow, a lot of people allow like the jealousy, the envy, and all these other things to cloud their pathway where they don't even know what direction to take whatever art that they're doing because they're too busy looking to the left and looking to the right and end up crashing and wrecking your own life road, your own vehicle of life, because you don't even realize where you're going. And it's one of those things where I like to look straight, look forward, turn my lights on so I can see where I'm going, so I can see the traps that might be laid ahead of me. I end up falling into something because I'm too busy looking at you. And so that's for me, that's one thing that kind of keeps me peace. If you listen as an audience member, if you don't listen as an audience member, if you love us today, if you hate us tomorrow, we've had people that found us and end up a guest we had, end up that show end up being their favorite show and they don't listen to us no more. I am fine. As long as you find your own tribe, like it's no, there can only be one. It's no, we're going to be the consumer of everything. I've never felt like that. So for me, it makes it easier to just navigate, you know, this world of creativity.
I hear you. And I agree. Your metaphor is getting more and more elaborate, too.
Thank you!
Surprise, motherfucker!
Alright, let's get into the show.
Thank you. I guess that is a good thing. I'm getting more elaborate.
What the metaphors are, it's like, you know, I'm just looking in my lane, I'm driving my car, I'm turning on my lights,
yes.
I'm checking my rearview mirror, mm-hmm. I'm looking at my signal, I'm getting the oil change,
come on,
it's like, you know,
yes, getting the tire pressures checked, yes,
the metaphors is growing over there. I just noticed it, that's all, just saying.
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus still out here, y'all.
Yeah, it is. It ain't going nowhere.
I know you've been told that it's not out here. It's still out here.
I know they told y'all the coronavirus done packed this shit up and went home, but them are lies. Lies, I tell you.
Lots of news. Apparently, the winter is coming, and it's not just Game of Thrones.
Mm-mm.
The coronavirus winter is supposed to be pretty harsh. The numbers are jumping up in Europe right now, where it's a little bit colder than it is here, and where they actually did a better job of getting the numbers down than we did here.
Mm-hmm.
Even places like Germany, where they only had, like, they were just world renowned for handling it so well, and they're starting to have a spike. Just the winter is coming. I just want to tell people, if you've been doing the right things, you've been, you know, did social distancing, avoiding large crowds, you know, maybe you've been eating a lot more, staying at home more, staying out of the gym, things like that. You're doing the right things. This is really the tough stretch. This is going to be the part where the numbers are going to jump up. Everything that we do, for the most part, is going to need to be done indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been able to, like, you know, navigate it this far, don't let people's fatigue and the peer pressure or the political pressure convince you that you're the one that's crazy and you gotta go out and just, I gotta just live my life. Like, don't mm-hmm. fall for that.
Don't fall for it, particularly, and we haven't even got there yet, but you're talking about Thanksgiving's coming up, Christmas coming up, and New Year's is coming up. And a lot of this is family time. Like, this is when family get-togethers happen. So, you know, people are going to have to decide, am I going to opt out of family settings this year? You know, are we going to have to cancel? Are we going to have to virtually get together, you know, just so everybody can be safe, you know? And those are choices that everybody's going to have to make. Or are we going to have to scale it down where, hey, instead of 50 people, or we have an open house where everybody float through, you might only can have 5 to 10 people, or whatever the case may be. And so it's one of those things, but that fatigue will get to you, but you'll be like, oh, we can invite such a, we can do what we used to do. Everybody wear masks, and all you need is for one person not to follow the rules, not to social distance, and then you have a problem.
Let's see. Mike Pence had 5 staffers, 5 of his aides test positive for COVID-19, and he is going to continue his current schedule of campaigning and travel.
Did he test positive too, didn't he? Or he never took a test.
I feel like he never took a test.
That's what it was. Okay, that makes more sense. I was
but
like,
everyone around him is positive. So the odds of him not being positive is very low.
Right.
And then, you know, I think when they did the debate, they had to put up a glass partition between him and Kamala Harris because, you know, he was probably going to try to give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, both him and his wife are said to have tested negative earlier Saturday. But yeah, he's going to continue to go to rallies and all this stuff despite all these people around him having it.
Because he does not care. He does not care.
Yeah. it's just amazing. Let's see. Health agency halts coronavirus ad campaign. The ad campaign that they wanted to do was have, the Trump administration wanted to spend $250 million to have Santa Claus impersonators do commercials where they would promote vaccines and to people.
What?
Yeah.
But there's no completed vaccine yet. The fuck is this?
And they said they were going to also offer the people who played Santa Claus in the commercials and stuff early access to the vaccine.
If they not dead first, no.
What do you mean if they're not dead?
So you're gonna have them push it from, I'm pretty sure they're gonna be around people and shit.
Yeah,
like
they're
that.
Saying like once a vaccine was available, that which they anticipate being around this Christmas, they were gonna do a $250 million advertising campaign with Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Actors in commercials telling people to try the vaccine.
Yes, and I'm about to say, odds are, depending on how they cut it, they're not going to be social distancing. They're going to have people all up in their face. And I would say, if they don't be done caught the coronavirus and die by the time the vaccine gets here.
Yeah.
Am I missing something?
Yeah, I don't understand what you mean by they're not going to be social distancing and have people in their face.
Okay, I guess I'm not understanding. Are they gonna put the commercial out once the vaccine is here?
Once the vaccine is here.
Okay, I thought it was like prior to the vaccine. I was like, that don't make no fucking sense. That's stupid.
No, once the vaccine is available, which they were anticipating somewhere around the end of the year, near Christmas, they were gonna put out an advertising campaign with Santa Clauses who were promoting the vaccine, and as part of the payment for the, they were going to give those Santa Clauses actors, they were going to give them access to the vaccine early.
Okay, I feel you. It's still dumb, but yes, I understand now. I thought it was something, but there we go, ho ho ho, Merry Christmas, you know Santa Claus is coming to town, and when I come to town, I'm gonna give you the vaccine. You're like, bitch, it ain't out yet. That's why I was like, you've been uncaught it before we got a vaccine.
What I think is funny is because I saw people kind of downing this idea, especially being that it's from the Trump administration, and they ultimately decided not to do it. But I actually don't think this is that bad of an idea, only because I think it is going to take a positive spin on the advertising for the vaccine, because people do not trust this administration. They don't trust so you have people that don't trust this administration for good reason. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then you have people that just don't trust any vaccines. Then
okay.
You have Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you have Trump's own supporters who've been told by him to, at different times, different stories about whether the vaccine, whether the virus is even a threat, whether it's real,
right,
whether the effects on it are even a big deal. So I think you will need, and it's mostly because of who's in charge.
Yes.
I think we will need a fucking advertising campaign.
Something to push,
that will instill
yeah.
confidence and hope and and unfortunately that's what it's gonna take. I don't think it should be that way, but I can't imagine how you gonna get Americans to agree to this shit unless you tell them like, yay, vaccine is here.
Yeah you have to push it in a form, because Americans are stupid, so you have to push it in a form that make it lighthearted and shit like that. And so from that perspective, I understand, but like I said, for me it's just one of those things to where everything was done so bad and so terribly. If this would have been done better, handled better, people would have been truthful up front, you'd have more people more trusting of it, period. But y'all fucked it up. This is y'all fault. So this is a form of a cleanup to try to fix some shit that you fucked up in the first place, that you didn't have to fuck up. You opted to fuck it up.
I agree. First time buyers fuel pandemic related surge in gun sales.
What do they think gonna happen?
Well, during the pandemic, you know, because of coronavirus, people are at home, was locked down. It's an election year, so people are stocking up on firearms. The rise this year has been a spike that is driven mostly by first-time gun buyers, especially among African Americans and women.
Yeah, black women unless it's changed, last time I checked, they were saying black women are the number one people getting their licenses, and the number one people in as far as purchasing and shit like that, because it's one of these things where we're going, white people is crazy, white people is nuts, the racism went up, you know, everything just went up, you know, and a lot of that, it's sad, it stems from white supremacy. Okay, white people are nuts, so their paranoia has caused me to have to prepare for them acting stupid.
Yep, about 40% of sales in the first 4 months of the year were made by first-time buyers, far higher than the average annual, than the annual average of 24% over the past two decades. Gun sales among black Americans are up 58% through September. Yeah, people feeling like they're gonna have to, I've heard black people already, like, worried what's gonna be the outcome if Trump loses. Which is always an interesting thing to me, because I worry what happens if he wins and we have four more years of this. I think that's far more deadly for us than if he loses. Even if he loses and his people are upset about it, I don't see that as being nearly as deadly as letting Trump stay in charge.
Yeah, and also,
so, you know, it's not that that is no concern to me, but it is a much lower concern than the alternative. It's kind of like when people say, oh God, I'm getting old, I don't want to celebrate my 50th birthday, I'm so old, don't even talk to me. And it's like, the other alternative was that you died before 50.
Come on.
So, you know, feel how you feel, but pardon my fucking empathy for being like, there's much bigger problems in the world, you could not be here. You know, a lot of people didn't make it to 50. So, you know, feel sad and depressed if you want to, but I just don't need to participate in it with you. And that's how I feel about if they lose, what are we going to do? Like, I don't know. My goal is to make them lose.
Yes. And also, it's one of the things, too. Black and brown people have been watching the news. They've been watching the TV. And guess what they've been watching? White people acting a motherfucking fool across the country. They've seen hate crimes go up. They've seen motherfucker Karens showing their asses. They've seen people pulling off masks. They've seen people spitting on people. Like, you people act like that shit does not impact your psyche. It fucking does. And they're going, oh, they're fucking insane, and I don't want to be the one that you spit on and give me coronavirus. I don't want to be the one you're pulling off my mask. I'm trying to obey the rules. I just want you to fucking leave me alone.
Yeah, man. And you know, maybe to some people, they want people to feel like you don't know if you're running up on the wrong one with that bullshit, so you call 911 on me for telling you to put up your dog. And I might not be the one to pull out a camera phone. I might pull out a gun.
Right.
Or maybe they see these Proud Boys in the streets and now they want to get guns. You know, I understand the impulse. Although my personal belief is that it's not necessarily going to help anything.
Mm-mm.
But that's the fantasy of the gun in America.
Yes. It's always a scenario.
Yeah. The fantasy of the gun is that you're going to use it to protect or defend yourself and kill the person coming after you. And, you know, I guess I hope that that's what happens for people if they buy a gun, anyone really, if that they'll be using self-defense and to stop someone from trying to do something to you. But that's not the reality of how they often use, whether it be a child finding it, whether it be
the gun owner using them on themselves,
suicide, whether it be crime, whether it be stolen. So, you know, it's just not a very realistic thing, but I think it tells you a lot about the psyche of people that sales are going up this time, specifically with women and Black people, who are people that are definitely under the scope of this administration. And so I can see why they like, I'm arming myself, because I can't depend on the law, I can't depend on the police, I can't depend on the criminal justice system, I can't depend on the community, I can't depend on the media, I can't depend on my white allies, because I'm getting tired of seeing us get killed and then the only thing about it is a hashtag a viral video
or thoughts and prayers,
right? Or a viral video because someone held their phone up. Like, nah, I'm gonna just hold my gun up. You know, I don't want to see, you see George Floyd, you see Ahmaud Arbery, you see what happened to Breonna Taylor. It's just hard for people to see that and then go, well, I'll believe in the system, or I'll believe in getting justice some other way. Nah, I'd rather have the gun and, you know, use it, and at the end of the day I'm alive and paying, and then we can work out what the fuck is up, because right now it's just y'all kill us and then we have a trial and we never win that either.
Right. And it's also, you know, and for a lot of people, they're like you said, that they're fed up, they're tired. Like you said, a lot of these are marginalized groups, and when you feel like, oh, since nobody's gonna protect me, I'm going to protect myself. And you know what, it's one of those things where if I kill you, I am willing to deal with going to jail or whatever it takes. Like you said, the aftermath, whatever happens after that happens after that. Yeah. Say what you want to say, but I'll be allowed to tell the motherfucking story. At least that's the illusion that people have in their minds.
With hospitals full of COVID-19 patients, Idaho board repeals mask mandate.
They appeal it?
Right.
This is why voting matters. This is why who they put in these court systems matter within the states, because you know, Supreme Courts within the states, and these are the places that Trump are putting these people in. So when people appeal and be upset and they push it, they go to these fuckers, and these are the people that stop a lot of these court cases and overturn them and do stupid shit like this.
Yeah, I don't know that this is a judge, like a court case.
Okay.
Most of our medical surgical beds at Kootenai Health are full, said Panhandle District epidemiologist Jeff Lee to board members in the state's third most populated county. The hospital is at 99% capacity, even after doubling up patients in rooms and buying more hospital beds. Idaho is one of several states where the surge of COVID-19 infections is overwhelming the hospitals, likely in part because of cooler weather, and is sending people indoors.
And also the thing too is that a lot of these places, that them flyover states out there in fucking Timbuktu, nowhere in the cornfields, a lot of them, and they still do, they think that's a city problem, which means it's a Black and brown people problem. But you know, when you go to a lot of these states, a lot of them, they, because the towns and cities are so small, their hospitals are more scattered, their hospitals are a lot smaller. You know, if, you know, 300 people get sick, the fucker hospital is full, and that's it. You know, and so you have these places where everybody didn't think it was a big deal till the coronavirus decides to go down your little country road and start spreading around there, and now you're in a panic and shit.
Yeah, you have your president in the middle of the debate saying, if you take out the blue countries, the blue states, we're fine. The red states are doing good. It's the Democratic governors that are killing these states, which is not, obviously not true, but also it just completely ignores that the red states are now spiking, because most of the red states are your rural states.
Yes.
And it just took a little longer to get there. They're the least prepared. They're the least, cooperative with the mask mandates.
Right.
If anything, they do a lot of stuff the opposite, where they're like, we gonna do the Sturgis bike rally and shit, and it's like, okay, well, people gonna get it, and it's like, shut your liberal commie ass up, boy.
Yeah, and then they have a spike, and then and then a lot of these people that went to that thing, guess what, they went back to Iowa and Omaha and all these other places. They went back to these places and spread it there after they caught it in this town.
But also, it's not just that you weren't even cooperating with the rules,
right?
So now you go back to your town where you don't cooperate with the rules. You are more spread apart, so it takes a little longer to spread in the community. Except most of these places are places where it gets cold.
Yes.
And then they go indoors and they still haven't, you know, relented to, like, these are the smart practices. So that's why you're seeing these jumps now. And then on top of that, because they vote Republican, the people that are in charge are doing stuff like voting 4-3 to end this mask mandate, even though they were told that hospitals are facing staff shortages and physician fatigue.
Right, because you probably got doctors working long hours, or is only 3 doctors in the whole town, or however it's set up, and they're like, y'all can't work these doctors to death, the hospitals are full. And that's the thing, nobody's going to be held accountable and responsible for this shit. They constantly want to cut the pay, and they don't want to pay these people what they're worth.
Well, it's the new thing they're doing, and I saw this today coming out of the White House, which, man, but yeah, board member Walt Kirby said he was giving up on the idea of controlling the spread of the virus. I personally do not care whether anybody wears a mask or not. If they want to be dumb enough to walk around and expose themselves and others, that's fine with me. Nobody's wearing the damn mask anyway. I'm sitting back and watching them catch it and die. Hopefully I'll live through it.
Yeah, and that's why you have people, regular ass people, doing what they want to do, because everybody's like, I'm tired of fighting y'all. It's like a fight that you can't win. They're like, you're killing me because you're stupid, and I'm tired of me dying. I just hope I live through your stupidity. Like, why am I gonna?
Here's my thing, though.
And it's still stupid.
But you're in charge. This is not like you giving up. This is a person on the fucking board. You have a vote. You have a say. You can try to stop this.
Yes. And this is your job. Yes. Completely different.
This is bullshit. They're selling us bullshit as if, like, listen, I personally realize that it's stupid to not wear a mask, but who am I to say? Bitch, you the one supposed to say. You are sitting in the who am I to say seat.
Yes. And a lot of these people aren't stupid. They're very smart and intelligent people to get all the facts and the numbers and statistics. And you know what this also shows? This person does not care about the populace that they are supposed to represent.
Another member voted against it and said, something's making these people sick, and I'm pretty sure that it's not coronavirus. So the question that you should be asking is, what's making them sick? He told the panel of medical professionals who were testifying.
Oh, that's who they were talking to when they said the stupid shit?
That's who they were talking to.
Oh, I know the I know they was like, let me burn this motherfucker down. This is my whole job. My whole job is about public health and safety, and you're being ignorant, and you're telling me that they're not, what the fuck are they dying for then? Or from? They're dying from coronavirus. Coronavirus is the real thing.
Republican Governor
vote these fuckers out of office, y'all. I don't know where this is, but vote.
I think I said what, Iowa or Idaho. Republican Governor Brad Little has declined to issue a statewide mask mandate or limit crowd sizes beyond requiring social distances at large events in businesses, which is seldom enforced. Instead, he has left it up to local health departments and school districts to make the tough decisions that sometimes come with blowback from the public. And that's the thing, too. You're an elected official. Let's say you're not going to get reelected because you stood up against the coronavirus. Hey, man, that's the job. That's why we elected you.
Right.
Sometimes you have to be the one that does the unpopular thing for everybody else, and you stand up for the people, and you go, you know what? I know it's not popular. You know what else wasn't popular? Being against lynching.
Come on.
In the early 1900s, late 1800s, it was unpopular for white politicians, whether Democrat or Republican, to come out and be like, you can't just lynch a fucking black person because you think they did some shit, you know? And yeah, if you came out against it, you were probably gonna lose, but guess what? You were right to be against it. And that's how I look at this coronavirus shit. Like, if you're gonna lose your election, your re-election bid, because you said I'm gonna save your fucking lives, then that's okay. That's the cost. You shouldn't even be able to have that job without being willing to pay that cost.
Come on,
that should be the fucking point of the job. It's like, well, you know what, they aren't gonna re-elect me, but goddamn it, I did what I was supposed to do. Anyway, let's see. North Dakota is overwhelmed by cases, so many they actually told residents to do their own contact tracing.
What? How it is?
They're getting so many cases, they have a backlog in COVID-19 investigations, which has caused a delay in calls that where you call and check people and go, hey, you came in contact with someone, you need to go get tested.
And a lot of this, y'all know what, a lot of this doesn't have to be like this. Like, and I think that's the most frustrating part, because if the federal government was functioning the way that it should, y'all know what, federal government would send federal aid to these places, and so they could hire and staff more, so they could do the tracing and do all the shit that they needed to do. If you had a federal government that was functioning right, they would actually send the supplies and put the funds in there so that they could actually do what they needed to do, versus everybody be like, fuck it, you're on your own.
Yep. They said they are finalizing a plan on how to move forward in the wake of all the positive cases, but declined to offer any new details on the new strategy.
Yeah, own systems that are already underfunded and constantly get chopped and cut, because that's the thing. Everybody thought about budget. But everybody, they cut the funds to the shit that you actually need the most. You cut it towards school, you cut it to education, healthcare, you know, colleges and shit like that. Like that's where you cut a lot of your funds, and you be like, well, they pass these fucked up laws, and they be like, well, make it on your own, but we already understaffed. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, they want you to do it yourself. If right. You get coronavirus, they want you to be the one calling people and shit.
Impossible.
Hello? Hey, man, remember how I came down your house the other day? I just want to tell you, I know this is kind of awkward, man, but I got coronavirus, and I think you might got it too. And you need to, you know, I just want to call you and let you know. Get yourself checked out, okay?
You know how this call gonna be. Do it for me. Hello? Hey, girl. I just wanted to...
Sorry, my phone. Phone's still going off. I got another call, girl. Hold on.
I got to click on three. Wait a minute. Let me
put them on hold. You know what? I'm going to hang up on them. All right.
Okay. I'm going to try to call you again, girl.
Okay. Call me again.
Hello.
Hello. Hey.
Hey, girl. I'm just calling to tell you that I think that you might be exposed to coronavirus.
What? Who is this? Playing on my phone?
This is Karen. I'm just calling to let everybody know that they got coronavirus, and I don't know what to tell you. And the person on the other end, guess what they're gonna say? Bitch, get off my phone, click, because you know they don't, coronavirus ain't real. That's how most of them phone calls gonna go, because they're talking to other white folks that don't give a damn and wearing masks. They're gonna say, bitch, get off my motherfucking phone.
Right, you talking to people in the states that don't believe in it.
They're gonna be like, coronavirus, I don't know, you got the wrong number. Who's the coronavirus?
This is so goddamn ridiculous.
Ain't it stupid?
Oh my god. Megyn Kelly joins a revolt against Governor Gavin Newsom, California Governor Gavin Newsom, on Sunday, who basically put out some restricting Thanksgiving guidelines.
Yes, because they know for Thanksgiving, motherfuckers are like, I hadn't seen my family since last year. I hadn't seen my family since March. And, you know, this is the time of the year that I just can't help myself. I got to see my family. And they're like, okay, but put some rules around it and people go, no, we won't do the same thing we used to. They're not saying not to see your family at all. I'm not even saying not to do that, but just have rules and regulations and restrictions around it. And people are going, nope.
Yeah, he said, if you're gonna hold Thanksgiving, you gotta have some fucking social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
And white people are not taking this shit well at all.
Mm-mm.
I believe he said you have to, and then there's a, and it's the conservative stupid He-Man Woman Haters Club. It's why I always say Megyn Kelly, Make America Great Again Kelly, is the feminism what Kanye West is the racism. Mm-hmm. You just can't, like, when it people try, they made a whole fucking movie about her with Bombshell and shit, trying to make her a sympathetic figure, and fucking white people get on my motherfucking nerves, especially white women, that if you say anything mean about Megyn Kelly, who is a fucking overtly racist person, if you fucking say anything about her, they go, well, I mean, listen, it's not okay what Roger Ailes did. That doesn't make it okay. And it's like, no one's fucking saying that, but I'm not gonna root for this fucking racist.
Right.
Like, you can't, like, it's, you know, Hitler got beat up in high school. Okay. I don't know what the fuck.
He killed a lot of people too.
Like, this person is terrible. You know, when the president got sick with coronavirus, like, I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't turn me into some different human being where all of a sudden I don't understand that this motherfucker is evil.
Right.
So, you know, anyway. But Gavin's doing his best. I know there's people in California that have issues with him. They say he opened up too soon. He did things not, you know, whatever. But he's been saying, like, look, you gotta have your Thanksgiving outside.
Makes sense.
Which, I mean, it's California. Is it really gonna be impossible to have Thanksgiving outside? I've never lived there.
It's like 80 to 90 every day, who knows.
Yeah, I've never lived there, so I don't want to speak with any authority on whatever goes on in California like that. I know, like, we have some friends that have lived in California, but I don't know. In my mind, I just always assumed that Thanksgiving wasn't really like the snowy inside mm-hmm. Thanksgiving that we picture on the East Coast.
Right.
So I don't know why the idea of, like, listen, you can do it, but it's basically got to be like a picnic or a cookout. You got to social distance. Yeah. I think you can use the bathroom inside, but basically not together. And then the bathroom has to be clean. 6 feet, you know, man, mm-hmm. 6 feet, of course, social distancing, mask on unless you're eating, no singing.
Makes sense.
And these white people mad as shit. Megyn Kelly mad as hell about it. Adam Carolla mad as hell about it. Talking about how many sheep are going along with Newsom's Thanksgiving protocols. Rob Snyder's unfunny ass. Dear Emperor Gavin Newsom, during our allotted 3-family limit this Thanksgiving, if my aunt comes over, can I throw her a slice of turkey from the window? We promise not to sing. We will all just whisper, please recall fucking Gavin Newsom or something like that. Yeah, this is like, these fucking, like, white conservatives are crazy. And it's only white people that have a problem with this on this. Like, they yes. cherry pick the big accounts, and it's all just these white conservatives. Mike Tate. Is Governor Newsom trying his best to deliver California to Donald Trump? Because this is insane. Yeah, it's, wow, white people mad as shit about this.
Right, because
they ain't dying from it.
Is it me? And I know, you know, black and brown people, you know, some of us don't like the rules and regulations, but we actually don't do this shit. We are the black and brown people that are outraged and mad and shit that they telling us to wear masks.
Yeah, like I said, it's just like, it's just different. They white people, like, really feel attack on their freedom because they've never experienced actual a lack of freedom.
Yes.
So they don't know that this isn't it.
Mm-mm.
They think this is it. This is like, hey, take care of yourself and others. And they're like, fuck that. You can't make me cover my mouth. You're like, what are you talking about? This is literally, scientists are telling you to do this. Fuck them scientists. I decided. you know, and it's just crazy to me. And they turn it into this weird like manhood thing. Mm-hmm. You sheep, you pussy, listening to scientists who are trying, it's like, what
trying
are you,
to save your lives,
like what are you doing? And I, it's only because they think it can't happen to them, or if it does, yes, they'll be fine.
Correct.
Anyway, that's just super disappointing. All right, let's get into some other news. Let's see, what else we got. Offset, Cardi B's maybe husband.
Yeah, they didn't get divorced. I know she filed, but I don't think they got to actually, like, they went through the process. They're still married.
He got arrested following a confrontation with the police filmed on Instagram Live.
Oh
yeah, they said 35,000 people were watching the video live on Instagram when the incident occurred. And the cops basically said he had they were waving guns around, and that they was gonna arrest him because him and his friends was waving around guns. So once again, I don't know what the fuck is happening over there at that house. Mm-hmm. Or in their lives.
What's true, what's not true, I have no idea.
No, seem like they got some real baby boy type love going on there, and good luck to them. Lawyers say they can't find 545 migrant children separated by Trump administration.
Yes, that was the whole purpose. That was the whole purpose of locking them up and putting them in cage.
Did I say that wrong? They said they can't find the parents of the 545 children. My bad. I think I might have just said that. Said they can't find the children. But to me,
yes, it's missing children too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm trying to be clear with what I'm reading.
Okay.
To me, just as fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find, you made a new policy of separating the children from the parents,
right?
That's you. And then you say that we're doing this not as a deterrent, but just, you know, for just, it's more practical and all this stuff, put the children in cages and stuff. And their argument is like, Obama's administration built the cages and didn't use them. What is that? How's that make sense? How's that make you better? It's like, so that's like being like, but Obama's administration had nukes. Yeah, but you don't have to use them. You're still worse for using them. Anyway, if that's even true, but that's their excuse. I listened to the debate. That was their excuse. But my point being, it was always supposed to be a scary deterrent. It
yes.
was supposed to be like, don't even come here. We will keep you from your children. And that doesn't sound like what you do to rapists. Right? Or coyotes or whatever. This sounds like what you're doing to families.
Yes, yes, because the whole purpose is to destroy the family, to set, make them the example.
Right.
Because the thing about it that's even more fucked up about this whole situation is that a lot of these children had family members in the States that was like, hey, I will take, we will come, we're related, we have proof that we're related, we will come and get these children. They would even let them go to their own family members. They would rather keep these kids locked up.
The fact that they say it's not supposed to be about scaring people, it's not supposed to be about that, but you're the same people that said there were caravans of migrant gangs coming to America that just magically disappeared after the midterm elections.
Come on.
And all of a sudden that was gone. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
You demagogue brown people, you demagogue immigrants to this country from brown places, and yet at the same fucking time I'm supposed to believe you had the best interest of these children in mind?
No.
You didn't even keep records of whose child belonged to who. How is that even fucking possible? That's so simple.
Yep.
How do you even lose track that way? This is unconscionable. The fact that people felt that this was something America could withstand and would come out better for at this administration that started on Mexicans are rapists and criminals and gang members and they're coming to America. That was his first fucking thing he said coming down the steps from Trump Towers. This is what a lot of people wanted. Mm-hmm. The fact that there were people who stood by and either let it happen or thought we'll be fine. No big deal. What's really the difference between him and Hillary Clinton anyway? That shit is what pisses me off, because this is stuff we knew. We knew this would come to pass. And the depths of their depravity know no fucking bounds.
No, it does not. And also, it's one of those things to where we used to hold these children in the U.S. Now, a lot of those children are in Mexico. Like, they won't even let the children come across the border. Like, they've actually made agreements with Mexico to actually hold those children in Mexico versus allowing those children to come back to the States. And a lot of those children, possibility, are actually American citizens.
Right. In this case, this policy, the more than 1,000 parents were separated from children under the pilot program, which was this border, zero tolerance policy they started in 2018 that was like, we're gonna separate the children and the parents. So they had a pilot program in 2017. And then in 2018 is when they had the policy was ended by executive order. Well, they were keeping track of 2,800 families under the like official program, but during the pilot, I guess 1,000 parents were separated from children, well, more than 1,000, and then already deported before a federal judge in California ordered that, hey, you need to go find the parents of these children. Mm-hmm. They had to be ordered by a federal judge to even do that. They weren't going to do that.
No.
That's why I say it's the point. The point is, go back to your country. We took your children. Tell people if they come here, we will take their children. They are not welcome in America anymore. We will take your children and leave you. You will lose the thing that you brought here to protect. This is evil.
Yes, and what's even more, and I guess in my mind more fucked up about it, is that there are a lot of people in this country, and even a small percentage of black people, that had no compassion for these people. And it's like, nigga, your ancestors came on a motherfucking boat. This same goddamn tactic was used. How can you not have compassion for people being ripped for their fucking families? I remember us covering them goddamn stories about children being molested, children being raped, about little girls having their periods and they're just letting them bleed, about lice and shit like that that was spreading because they would have one comb. And it's one of those things where, motherfucker, just because you're black and you're here in America, your citizenship is up on trial too. Like, a lot of people fail to realize we are no better than they are. We are literally all in the same boat.
You're just finding out who the fuck you are when people go, well, when Hitler was in Germany, people could have stopped him. You're finding out who you are right now. If you're sitting around going, oh, it's kind of both sides. If you're sitting around going, well, I mean, I disagree with some of these policies, but, you know, I don't want to, you know, wish anything bad on the man. Like, you're finding out who you are. You know, you're fine. Cause this is evil.
Yes.
There aren't two sides to this. There isn't a nice way to spin this. It's only fucked up.
Yes. It's evil and it's cruel. And it's one of those things where, you know, just like, black people and slaves wanted people to stand up for them, you need to stand up for these people's rights too. But for some reason, we think, not we in general, but some of us think we're above that, and we think we're separated from it, and we don't think they would directly impact us. Like, we won't be impacted by these rules, because don't you think that the same rules they apply to them, they won't try to apply to us also? So it's like, we are not an exception to the rules. So don't be ignorant and don't be stupid and don't be dumb when you see them doing this to other marginalized people. We're on the menu too. Actually, the whole purpose is to actually get to us. So don't feel safe. Don't ever get to the point that you ever think you above them stripping your rights as a citizenship. Don't ever think that you are above that, because that's what they're attacking.
Yeah, they did this to children, man. Like,
this is why voting matters.
There's a level of evil here that just, there's no justification for this shit. You know, as progressive as I am, I understand the idea of why you have a policy about who comes in and out of countries and track people and vet people and stuff. I understand that. I don't find that to be so insane. I know a lot, you know, on Twitter, it's just easy to be like, fuck it, open borders, everyone come through, don't check shit. You know, I know that's the woke thing to say, but I understand that if I was running a country the same way, if I was running anything, you know, and part of my job was, you know, checking out who the fuck was where doing what, sure, I get that. You're gonna always have some level of immigration policy. But to act like there's no difference, this is what that simple shit gets us, is this. Because now everyone knows the fucking difference. Matter of fact, let's move into fucking with black people. Let me see what fucking with black people do I want to play today. There's so many good ones. Okay. I haven't played this one in a while. 25, 50, 75, 100. How much is you fucked with? How much is you fucked with?
Death by a thousand cuts. Microaggressions. Gaslighting. Dog whistles. Manic depression. Work twice as hard no matter how high the bar is. I give it 100. Now fuck it. Dracarys.
25, 50, 75, 100. How much is you fucked with? How much is you fucked with?
All right, it's time for Fucking with Black People, the game where we read articles from all around the globe and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25, for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Mark Lamont Hill is going to vote Democrat for the first time in 24 years. Yay, he did it. I'm happy, honestly. Why? Because it finally proves what the fuck I've been trying to tell these people for years now. And they all laughed at me, they mocked me, I lost friends over it. I was told so many bad things, but vote shaming works.
Rob is right. Yep, Rob is right. Rob is right. Rob is right. Yep, Rob is right. Yeah, Rob is right. Whoop, what was that again? Oh yeah, Rob is right. Rob was right.
Yeah. Vote shaming works. Shame these niggas. Keep up that intensity. We clowned this man for 4 years straight until he changed his 24-year pattern of throwing his motherfucking vote to the trash. Okay, so the same way I'm happy that Snoop voted for the first time and Shaq voted for the first time, shaming is working on these niggas, and anyone that tells you it doesn't is a goddamn lie. They never present proof for why it doesn't work. They just tell you it doesn't work, which is a lie. It works. We gotta shame these niggas, we gotta clown them, and we gotta make their ass act right. I'm tired of people being stupid. He's entirely too smart to be this dumb. Now, we can listen to his reasoning, and it's not the greatest reasoning, but I'm just glad he got to the right column. You know, I think it would be better if he had some integrity and said, yeah, I fucked up in 2016, because we'll get into that. But he says, I'm going to vote. I've never not voted. He said in a 1-minute and 30-second clip posted to his Instagram page. I have voted for the Green Party for the last 20 years. By the way, the reason I hate the Green Party voters more than anything, other than people that vote Republican, is that they never do it because they endorse the policies of the Green Party. They never present policies and try to change your mind. They just keep going, well, I hate Republicans, I hate Democrats. And you're like, okay, so, but what is the Green Party exactly running on?
Right.
Like, where's the difference for you? Where are they stronger to you? Why are they a more viable alternative? How are they courting your vote and my vote other than just showing up every 4 years and going, well, we hate these other guys, right? And we're like, no, that what? How's that a policy? Yeah, but I mean, to me, this sounds, a lot of the reasons to vote for the Green Party sound a lot like why Republicans tell black people to vote for them. What do you got to lose? Democrats ain't doing shit for you anyway. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of shit where you're like, one, those aren't really true, but like, I do have something to lose. We've seen it the last 4 years, and Democrats have done things for black people. We've seen them be repealed in the last 4 years too. So he says, I think it depends on how you understand voting, because the person interviewing him asked how could he throw his vote away. He says, I think voting is absolutely harm reduction. It's a tactic to buying time. Sometimes the goal of voting is to build long-term visions, and sometimes it's to stop an immediate harm. There have been many elections when the distinction was relatively minimal, and I think the distinction has been relatively minimal, and I thought it was important to build up grassroots support for the Green Party. Here's the thing. That is such a misplaced point of view. That's to say minimal there is so, what exactly is minimal? When has it been minimal? The difference between the Democratic presidential candidate and the Republican presidential candidate. When has it ever been minimal since the Voting Rights Act was passed? When has it been minimal? Like even when there were times where we thought this Republican is more moderate than some extreme Republican, and that's why they won, right? Even then it was never minimal. Like, that is really weird to say minimal there, because it's never really minimal. Like we know things get worse for black people specifically under Republicans, period, every single fucking time.
Stats and statistics show
every time. So when you say minimal there, who are you talking about? Because what I hear is it's minimal for me.
Correct.
That's what I hear, because it's never minimal for everybody. There's way too many people in America for us to throw the most marginalized people in the fucking pit because we don't feel good about our vote. We didn't get our dick sucked enough by the current person running for office, so fuck everybody, time to go third party on this one, time to throw this vote in the trash, time to not vote at all because I didn't get my personal fucking stroking off. So hey, sorry everybody, sorry people that are really fucking dependent on me to make the right decision. He says the political moment is on fire. I would say the vulnerable American, it is always on fire, but Trump isn't watching the fire, he is putting gasoline on it. And Joe Biden and Donald Trump are both problematic candidates, but I don't think they are the same. Every single candidate that has ever been held any office at any point has been problematic, because every single human being on this planet is problematic.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that fucking word. I really do. It means nothing now. Well, they're both problematic. No, one of these motherfuckers is decidedly fucking worse. There should be another word for if everyone's problematic, then we might as well stop bringing it up. There should be another word then, because that word means nothing. If you look at both of them and go, yeah, they both, it's like me going, we all make mistakes. And then OJ Simpson goes, yeah, we all make mistakes. Nigga, somebody's mistake's a little worse than some people's mistakes. I forgot to take the chicken out and put it in the sink.
That's not the same.
Okay? Like, the mistakes is different for different folks. Get the fuck out of here. Four more years of Donald Trump is not only dangerous for the vulnerable here in America, but he is dangerous for any type of movement. As much as I dislike Joe Biden, he can be moved, he can be persuaded. So for the first time in 24 years, I'm going to vote Democrat. Nothing he said cannot be applied to 2016. That's the shit that bothered me. And this is why I tell you, because they won't come out and apologize. They won't come out and say they got it wrong. They'll just keep, because they never have to take any responsibility, integrity, accountability, none of that shit. They just keep moving forward as if nothing happened, as if we're just going to go, oh, yeah, yeah, we want to hear your political commentary again. It's like, nah, you should have to admit, I called that one wrong. I fucked up. Everyone was telling you fucking up right now. and was like, nope, I got the attention in the pulpit. And this right here is still kind of that, right? It's still kind of, ooh, while we're talking, let me get your attention. It's time for me to take the spotlight. Y'all, I need to hold a press conference. I'm gonna vote Democrat.
Which is something you didn't have to tell us.
Yeah, but you know, you've been telling us how you don't vote Democrat for the last how many years, right? So, but you need the attention. It's the attention of it. You know what I mean? Hey, y'all.
It's your boy.
It's your boy, MLH. And, I don't know if you've been noticing, but things are kind of crazy right now. I don't know if you've seen my mentions, but, I'm gonna go ahead and do it for y'all. I'm gonna go ahead and bless you with this blood-out Democratic vote. Y'all welcome. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing it for the little people. You know what I'm saying? The little people that need the help, you know, but it's like, bro, they needed the help in 2016. Just say you called it wrong, man. It would make everyone feel a little bit better if you just was like, dog, I fucked up. My bad. Other people did it. Eddie Glaude did it. Like, I don't, like you won't lose your seat at the table. You won't lose mm-hmm. your standing in the community. If anything, I think it helps when you come out and go, yeah, I was wrong. I have a way of thinking about these things, and clearly this was the wrong time to be promoting that shit. The same thing they promote that they pay fucking people in Russia to tell black people to do, I was doing for free. My mistake. Didn't even get a bag. My bad, y'all. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
I give this a 50. I'm just a little irritated, but it ain't worth putting the effort to get highly upset, because I hate to be like this. It's one of those things where it's like, I kind of don't care, you know, because with him it is what it is, you know. Because like you said, people reaching out, people's telling him he ignored them, and then he went silent on the whole matter. He was nowhere to be found for a while, and now he's showing back up. I don't care.
Yeah, 100 for me. 100, because you actually just reminded me of why I was gonna go 75, but it's 100 because it's the smugness of 2016. There's no apology. There's no admitting you got it wrong. There's no recognition of being wrong and other people telling you how wrong you were. And especially for the fact that everything you claim to care about, Trump made fucking worse.
Yes.
So, and you knew that was going to happen. He said 4 years ago, this was going to help us towards some fucking progressive utopia. And here you are now, 4 years later, hoping Joe Biden can save us. You made this happen. We could have had a 4 year head start and with no reset button on the progressive ideals under Hillary Clinton, because you know who else could be pushed to the left? Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
If you think Joe Biden can be pushed, so can Hillary. We saw it happen. Literally from 2008 to when she ran in 2016, we saw her policies move more and more left because she was trying to get with the times.
Mm-hmm.
Period. She was like, okay, cool, we moving to the left, Black Lives Matter, everything, let's go. We could have been in another universe, 4 years of organizers still pushing her to the left. Yes. Something that he just said, yeah, you can't even do that to Trump, right? So what were you even fucking thinking 4 years ago when you told us he was gonna somehow be better for us when we came out of this?
And you know what? I'm trying to tell you right now, in this other universe, y'all to call Hillary Clinton a bitch, but you know what? We wouldn't have had no 200,000 people dying.
Yeah, it's just, it's 100 for me, man. It's 100. I really can't think of it any other way, because it does make me mad. And, it's not Dracarys, because I'm still glad that he came around or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll take the vote, period. It doesn't really matter.
The same.
But, yeah, you'd be a fool to not notice what's happening with this shit, you know? And it just all feels like a weird type of grift, like, you know, here I go with the come up again, you know what I mean? So, all right, let's go into another one. Orlando worker fired after speaking out about letter that warned employees of layoffs if Biden won. A Central Florida worker who spoke out about a letter from his boss threatening layoffs if Joe Biden wins the election has now been fired. If Trump and Republicans win the election, DMC will hopefully be able to continue operating more or less as it has been operating lately, said Daniels Manufacturing Corporation President George Daniels. The letter went on to say, however, if Biden and the Democrats win, DMC could be forced to begin permanent layoffs beginning in late 2020, early 2021. After the letter went out, Stan Smith spoke, is an employee. He spoke with the news about it. Everyone has a choice to make their own decision. I don't feel like it was correct to do something like that. That's like me coming to work. I should come in here and I should wear a Black Lives Matter shirt, bring out hats and pass them out to everyone. I felt like it was unfair. This week, Smith has been fired. He's a black man who said that. He believes Daniels, the president of the company that makes tools and electronics for the military, aerospace, and aircraft industries, ordered his termination because he didn't like that what he told WESH2 News. When reached by phone October 16th, George Daniels said he'd been sending the same kind of letter for many years, and he had a duty to inform his workforce of the possible job consequences depending on the outcome of the presidential election.
When is this ever fucking normal? Job? I've worked for enough companies to know that jobs don't do that bullshit.
Smith has now hired an attorney who is preparing a lawsuit.
Yeah, goddamn right. Open and shut case. I go from being fine to you pushing me at the front door. Under what causes?
Yep. And I mean, he didn't directly say you got to go vote for Trump, but I mean, that ain't very far from basically implying if you don't vote for Trump, or you gonna lose your job.
Right. What else are you saying? And a lot of times, why do we go? This irritates me because we have to go through these stupid fucking seminars that only white people ignore when they tell us don't talk about politics. Like the whole fucking purpose of HR is to tell you just to come to work and do your goddamn job. But yet this person can come out and talk about politics and HR don't give a fuck. There's something wrong with that.
Yep. 0 to 100.
Oh, this gets 100.
Yeah. The fact that just coincidentally this man gets fired after this shit.
Right. It's almost like an open and shut case. They right. Do this shit, and I'm pretty sure somebody was like, hey, we're going to get a lawsuit. If you have a competent HR department, somebody told y'all, and they was like, fuck it, get the lawyers then.
Yeah. So I give it 100 as well. This is, it seems very retaliatory.
Yes.
To me. So, all right. Let's get into some other news. Let's see. What should we talk about? You know what? Let's do some guest of race. Okay. I know we got to do some more stuff. We got at 3:30, we're going to be on, For Our Nerds Twitch. For Our Nerds, I'll send out the link, but we're gonna be doing a round table about Lovecraft Country.
Yes. And then for those premium people, we'll be doing Fear the Walking Dead
later tonight.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Later tonight.
So, let me start wrapping this up. Let's do Guess the Race.
It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race.
That's right. Guess the Race is the game where we go all around the globe, find different articles about different stories, and then we have our audience and Karen guess the race of the people involved. And of course, everyone playing the game is racist. Now, in this case, we're guessing the race of the woman who was the victim of this crime. Okay.
Okay.
So we're not guessing the race of the perpetrator of the crime, because for some reason they still haven't told us who the perpetrator of the crime is.
They haven't told us who did the crime,
which will be clear in a few seconds.
Okay.
It was the red-eye flight from Las Vegas. Pretty much everyone on board was sleeping. One woman in the back was woken up in the most disturbing way.
I've never been more ready to come back home until the end.
Detroiter Alicia Beverly could not wait to get back, ironically, from Sin City.
It was just a girls' trip. I was with my sister.
So. Did you guys have fun?
Yeah. Have fun.
Monday night, curled up in a back seat next to her sister on board a Delta flight, Alicia was asleep until...
It started to get warm on this side of me.
In that sleepy haze, right at eye level, something unexpected.
I jump up. And I seen his private area, so I screamed, and that woke everybody on the plane up. By the time I actually looked at him and I see him shaking himself off, I'm like, this man just peed on me.
Her scream getting the attention of an off-duty
That's right. A man peed on her on the plane.
Officer on board.
In the midst of me doing all that, I looked, it was like a puddle of pee in the seat.
Alicia says the officer rushed over, restraining the man, who turned out to be a well-known pastor from North Carolina. Sources.
A well-known pastor from North Carolina. And this happened like a week ago. We still don't know. 11 days ago this happened. We still don't know who it is. I don't know who it could be.
Tell us the pastor had an apparent bad reaction to a sleep aid.
He didn't say anything the whole time he was standing there.
Just like you were a bathroom.
Yeah.
Alicia sat in those wet clothes for hours before landing at Detroit Metro, where the pastor was taken into custody. He hasn't been charged yet. The FBI handles incidents in the air. They'll make a decision on charges. Meanwhile, Alicia is filled with anxiety.
And pee.
I left work yesterday because I couldn't stay, but I had to tell him why I needed to leave because it was a lot. Like, my anxiety was really bad. I literally, since then, I probably only got maybe like 4 hours of sleep.
She's grateful, though, for the officer who took charge.
Yeah, I guess you probably wouldn't be able to sleep if you were asleep and then someone peed on you on a plane or whatever. It probably would fuck up your ability to have a peaceful sleep.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, because like, if someone peeing on me, what's on my leg? Okay, it's just the sheets. Oh God, I thought he was back in the house.
I'm literally very thankful that he was on there and something was able to be done right away, and it wouldn't have been like my word against his. It was somebody on there to actually see.
We spoke with the pastor's camp by phone. They're choosing not to comment right now. As for Delta, they referred us to local police. Reporting in Romulus, Jessica Dupnack, Fox 2 News.
Karen, guess the race of the woman who got peed on.
Black.
Karen's going with black. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe the race is. You hate to pee it. The pastor's camp. Okay. Detroit equal black. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, says Mwangangi. R. Kelly black, and she had every right to stab him. Nobody had a change of clothes. Poor girl black. She black, but whiteness protects his ass, so we know he white. Black. The correct answer is she was black. Everyone got it. Why do we still not know that pastor's name?
That's a big deal.
Right? And it's obvious somebody. The news knows his name because they said they contacted him.
Right? So it's obviously somebody don't want this shit to come out.
I'm going to Google this. Pastor P on plane. Who was it? Damn, that's basic.
Yeah, you might get a lot of hit results.
Will Graham denies on Twitter being the famous pastor who peed on a plane. So is Will Graham Billy Graham's son or something?
One of them Grahams.
Well, yeah, so he says it wasn't him, and then the FBI has refused to name who it is. This is crazy.
Why are they protecting?
But it's some real motherfucking, the Righteous Gemstone shit happening here. Like, how powerful are these people? All right, let's go to the next one. Attorney turned serial bank robber, quit his job, confesses to crimes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he getting to the money.
He is getting to the money, and everybody robbed, okay? No, I meant to do.
It does hurt when I'm taking your money.
Who found himself on the wrong side of the law, appearing in federal court today.
He's accused of robbing several banks across Miami-Dade and is now facing charges. Local 10's Hatzel Vella joins us live with the latest. Hatzel.
Denise, prosecutors telling us today that had he not been arrested, this former attorney told them that this would have been his next target, this bank here in Coral Gables. We're also learning that prior to these incidents, he traveled around the world. One of the places he last visited was Colombia, where he met a woman that later became his fiancée, had plans to go back to Colombia. And because of that, prosecutors believe he's a flight risk. In federal court today, we learned 41-year-old Aaron Honaker quit his attorney job, and today prosecutors say he was broke and desperate, told them he was homeless. Part of the reasons, they argued, he is a flight risk. These are pictures that, according to investigators, show Honaker robbing several banks, always the same M.O., a note to the teller demanding cash. He was only able to take cash in two incidents, about $1,850 in total. Here's the map that shows you all the banks targeted between September 30th and October 15th. Five in total, mostly in Coral Gables, except for one in Aventura. On Tuesday, despite trying to get away, Coral Gables police finally caught up with him. The criminal complaint says Honaker had a ballpoint hammer tucked into his waistband, a green pocket notebook, which inside had instructions on how to commit a bank robbery.
Yeah, did he Google this shit?
Does he have my ADHD? What is this? It's like how I go to microwave some Hot Pockets and then I throw the box in the trash and I gotta get it out the trash. I'm like,
yes!
Wait a minute.
Did it
say take 2 minutes or 1 minute? How many can I do?
Then throw it down, then be like, fuck, what did it say again? Pick it
right.
up.
Right. Is that what he was doing, but with robbing banks?
Yes!
It was just like instructions. Walk in the door. Pull out hammer. Wait, hold on. Pull out hammer. Was that? Wait, did I also pull out my hammer before I walk in the door or after I walk in the door?
All right. Am I supposed to take 45 steps or 8 steps?
Let me check these instructions again. Put the money in. And he only got 2 out of the 5 banks
right.
to give him money.
Right. Most of them was like, beat it.
Yeah, get out of here. You're being a nuisance.
Damn. What they do, they take the note and tore it up and was like, beat it before we call the cops.
Robbing a bank during COVID seems so impossible.
Right.
Cause I've been in the bank, man. They got all kinds of glass shielding and shit up there now. Like, you got a social distance. Leave the money 6 feet on the ground and step back 6 feet. Then I'm gonna come over 6 feet.
Yes, and then they have some banks that I've been into where they have like a revolving door that they can actually lock, which means you hit that motherfucker, they can actually lock you in there.
Mm-mm-mm. And 4 folded notes with his demands to tellers. He later told investigators he carried the ballpoint hammer with him during the robberies to escape any glass man traps triggered by bank security.
So he was thinking of what you said. Well, you said they hit the button and trap you in there. Mm-hmm. He said, nah, I could just use the hammer to break the window and get out.
And we must tell you that Honaker did confess to his crimes. The federal judge today agreed that he is a flight risk. And because of that, he is staying in jail. For now, reporting live.
All right, Karen. Guess the race of Mr. Aaron Patrick Honaker.
White.
Okay. Karen says that Honaker is white. Let's mm-hmm. check the chat room and see what they believe.
Ball Hadakin is white.
should have used almost got away with it as Emmanuel White. Wasn't a good attorney if he was that broke and homeless, mediocre white. Johnny Utah tried to stop him, but he surfed away. Did he then shoot it to the air until his gun was empty? Caucasian from the Caucasus Mountains white. Whitest of the white people white. Wanted that booger sugar from Columbia white. The correct answer is you all got it correct, white.
Oh, he very white. He had a mask and a social distancing and everything.
He had no business robbing people.
None.
What a waste of white privilege. Okay. You supposed to be somewhere voting for Trump and this how you do. Mm-mm-mm. All right, let's go to the bonus round of Guess the Race.
What time is it?
It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race.
Bonus round of guess the race, where everything is worth double the racism, double the points. So far, Karen is two for two.
I know. Woohoo!
But will she be able to keep up that streak when we go into the bonus round?
Fingers crossed.
Okay. No, she normally struggles.
I know, no bonus questions.
When everything's on the line.
When the heat turned up.
Karen has these moments where it's just, you know, it doesn't go as well as it should for her.
Come on.
So, let's see. The feds have arrested a rapper who bragged about getting rich from EDD claims in music video. EDD claims are, what are EDD claims?
Mm-hmm.
EDD debit cards. I guess like the, for some of these unemployment COVID money.
Mm. Rapper who bragged in a music video about getting rich from an unemployment scam is now facing federal charges. According to a criminal complaint, 31-year-old Fontrell Antonio Baines exploited the pandemic unemployment assistance provision of the Federal Coronavirus Act. He applied for more than $1.2 million in jobless benefits. Federal officials say right now he lives in Hollywood Hills, and in a video, he bragged he's going to get stacks of these while holding up envelopes from EDD. A second man in the video raps, quote, "You gotta sell cocaine, I just file a claim." If convicted, Baines faces up to 22 years in federal prison.
Like y'all doing the hard work.
No, he did not.
I filed a claim. Y'all out there on the street corner.
Bars. Okay.
Johnston for CD's provision of the federal.
Oh, okay, Karen. Guess the race.
Oh, them niggas.
All right, them niggas. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. You gotta file a claim. You gotta sell cocaine. I just file a claim, okay?
That's good.
Oh, man. Frontrail equal nigga, black, them niggas per Karen, niggerish, nigga shit, negroids, negroids.
Cause only we would say some shit like that.
So black, porch monkeys, Frontrail, dead giveaway. Had bars, now he behind bars. Blackity black. Negras. The correct answer is, and everyone got it right, black. Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God. What the fuck possessed you to put these in? I mean, they holding the checks in the video and flash them in front of the camera.
Holy shit.
Why are you confessing to the crime?
Right.
I mean, you supposed to confess the crimes you didn't do, not the crimes you do.
Right.
Oh,
you know,
my
the
goodness.
Federal government gonna want their money, then $1.2 whatever $1 million. Yes, they're gonna investigate that.
Bro, your name is Fontrell. They're gonna find you.
Your name gonna flag for investigation. Trust.
That's not like all facts is go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go.
I bet you them niggas on the block laughing at you now.
You in there with the cocaine slangers?
Yes.
Damn. I can't believe he got approved for them loans. That's the
a
most.
Lot of That's the secret. $1.2 million. Good God.
That's what he need to teach us. How you get approved for them loans in the first place. Oh, you know what? He probably just put white on the race box. That's probably all the secret. He just like, Fontrell, race, Caucasian. They were like, okay, here's $1.2 million in checks. Enjoy, good sir. Sorry for the inconvenience. All right. Sword ratchet this time. A man tries breaking into a home with a sword.
Oh shit.
Spotsylvania County, Virginia. Deputies say a man tried to break into a home with a sword early Thursday morning. It was around 12:30 a.m. Police got called for a burglary in process. When a deputy arrived, he saw two 15-year-olds and a 14-year-old in front of the townhouse, along with a man bleeding from the face.
Oh, shit.
The teens told the deputy they were walking around when the man, identified as Michael Wright, 34, came out of his home and started yelling at them for being too loud. The team then said Wright went back inside his home and got a sword. And that's when they ran home and shut the door behind them.
That's reasonable.
Moments later, they heard banging on the front door and what appeared to be Wright hitting the door with the sword.
Moments later.
Because they was making too much noise.
That's reasonable.
Wow. An adult at the home called 911 and the deputies came over. The three teens then went out back of the home and confronted Wright. They were then able to hold him by force. The teens were not injured, but Wright did get cuts to the face. Wright is charged with attempted malicious wounding, breaking and entering in the night dwelling. What is that?
I don't know. That's
a different type of law.
I'm about to say, that's not in the States, then, is it?
No, that's America.
Oh, what's a night dwelling?
It's like where Dracula stayed. What the fuck is a night dwelling?
He just dwelling around. It's hanging around.
Witches be in here. The
warlocks.
Okay, this is what we did, the Salem witch trials, the fucking night dwellings. You know what? If you get 60 gold coins from your mission,
come on,
and come to the night dwelling, we'll upgrade your sword to +2 attack.
Come on.
And destruction of property. He is being held without bond at jail, and he is black. I know.
Oh.
I knew that would shock y'all too.
I'd have got that one wrong.
It's shocking to me too, god damn it. All right, y'all, that's it for today. Last episode ever that is not exclusively on Spotify.
Yeah.
And also, last time we can leave a crowdcast up that isn't a premium show.
That is true. So for y'all, for those people that are listening live, y'all have to pay attention to crowdcast, because if you don't catch it live, you won't be able to watch the replay.
Mm-hmm. So just letting you know, like, live listeners, you can't check it out later. You just gotta, from this point on, unless you're premium, then premium people can always listen to like Balls Deep and pregame and stuff. But yeah, all right, y'all, that's it for today. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.